I'm Jeannie from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss!
Listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. And what is up, Team PopX? How are you doing?
Doing good, Joe.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, look at this. We got the whole family here. The tree's all up and festive. Oh my god, it's so... Wait for it. You ready to get festive? Boom.
Joe, you are glowing tonight.
Somebody's talking to you through the upside down.
Oh my God. Will, is that you?
That's
Will?
That's good.
Will. No, wait.
Will. Oh my God, Will.
It's Will. No, wait. He just stopped him. Did you see that? Look at that. He changed him up. Oh, now he's talking. You know what he's saying? PopX rocks. That's what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, guys. This is going to be so awesome. We have all four team members here tonight, and they're all four going to be on camera sharing some awesome stuff. And Austin, the next time we talk to you is going to be really interesting, right? I believe you've got some nuptials coming up.
Hmm? I'm going to be a married man, Joe.
Oh, you are diving into the world of marriage, are you? Yes. Oh. Yes.
You dip my toe in it. I don't like it. Then my toe right
now. You can't take your toe out of that, my friend. Won't you dip yes, won't you dip
Somebody's going to put a ring on that.
Somebody's.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is so exciting, man. Congratulations to both you and Madison from all of us here at PopX and from your cousin down here in Florida.
Oh.
We love you, man. And I'm so proud and happy for you. And, you know, honestly, it's going to be awesome. I just can't wait to see you two lovebirds just live life together. And that's the fun part.
Well, thank you so much, guys. And the best thing is she loves superheroes and comic books as much as I do.
And
so
I saw that. And I'm like really glowing now.
What's that saying that goes, this nerdy wife, happy life or something? Is that what it is?
The happiest of lives. I see it now.
There's so much hope out there for people that aren't married to a nerdy significant other. Myself included. Here's what happened. When I married Alex, she wasn't into superheroes or Star Wars or all of this. And then slowly, after watching movies continually, I like Tony Stark all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It can happen. We can have a convergence in the force, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, but I'm really happy for you, man. Let's get this show kicked off. What do you say? Are you ready to go? All right. Welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we'd like to welcome everyone joining us live on the PopX.live chat room and over in the YouTube Live. Come hang out with us and join the conversation, PopXcast.com.
Yes, am I. And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you missed episode 66, the Justice League film review, Superman mustache talk, and more, check our official website at popxcast.com
nice.
For this and other great past shows from PopX.
Oh, yes.
That's right. And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky Okie. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after tonight's show and click that awesome subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, would you please give us some geeky love by showing us a 5-star rating and review?
Yes, yes. So, well, let's get into some nerdy news. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live, right here, on PopXcast.com.
All right, and, well, we're starting it off on a really awesome note right now, and oh, it's yeah. one that I get to bring and bring into us, Avengers Infinity War. Oh, my God, the trailer dropped this week. Dude, I've probably watched this thing at least 20 times. I am not
so
lying
much
to you.
Geeky gloriousness.
It is a
crammed into it's like a what freaking was it, a full minute?
2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. Of course you would know these.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so let's read this. Let me read the thing and then we'll just dive into it. But okay. So Avengers Infinity War fans are getting their first taste of Marvel's epic in the brand new new trailer that dropped this past Wednesday. Infinity War is the largest collection of heroes ever assembled on the screen, and there's so much to process. It can be really hard to break it all down. Now Thanos looms large over the Marvel Universe, finally delivering on several movies worth of anticipation. Now he will be at the center of everything, but as director Anthony Russo explained, it won't be in a traditional villain in the shadows type role. He is there to destroy everything, and he's going to be the whole limelight of the entire film. So with Infinity War, the biggest new element to the movie is Thanos and the fact that he's entering the storytelling in a very bold, strong way, to the degree that he's almost one of the leads. Now, we've shaped an interesting narrative around him that in some ways leans heavily on the heist of the film and the fact that he's going after the Infinity Stones in a much bolder, successful way than he has in the past. Now, the entire movie has that energy of the bad guy being one step ahead of the heroes. Now, we looked at a lot of the movies that had the high style energy to them, and that brought some inspiration. Now, fans can't wait to see Thanos deliver a gut punch to Marvel Universe, but they're also excited to see how Marvel's premier team of heroes pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and respond.
Yes.
Now, I do know that Kevin Feige did go on the record this past week and say this is going to be something that a superhero film has never delivered before. And I will say this in quote, an ending. So, let's talk Infinity War for a few moments, if we shall. Now, Austin, I want to start with you. What were some of the highlight moments for you that came from viewing the trailer probably your 15th time?
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Joe. So I'm on a bus, right? And the hair on my arm stands up.
Oh, okay.
And I turn around,
hey, Tom
and
Holland.
It's Infinity War trailer. It's right there, dude. It's right
there. I think Austin had some displacement for a moment.
He's trying to live vicariously as Tom Holland, I think.
I think I've watched this so many times, I'm actually imagining myself as
he believes he's Spider-Man.
Well, he is, actually.
This is literally, and I'm not just saying this because I've watched it 78 times. This is maybe the most entertaining trailer I have ever watched. There is so much to this. I mean, of course, the best shot in the trailer is the shot at the end when they all run in. We don't really know who's going to be in that shot because we've seen it before. They can replace characters. They can take them out, put them in. So it could be more people in that shot. But the thing I'm most curious about is where are the characters that aren't in the trailer, specifically Hawkeye, because I've been saying this for a while. That dude is dead as a doornail, and I think by the end of the movie, he's going to be dead. So where are these characters? I can't wait to see. Maybe there's some surprises. Maybe Ant-Man's going in and infiltrating the Infinity Gauntlet. Maybe there's some stuff like that. So I'm more intrigued with what we didn't see, but what we did see was Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've had some moments of epiphany, and I've been able to break some things down based on what I've seen. So this is the PopX, and we'll get to Lindsay too, because I want to hear Lindsay's thoughts on this as well. But all right, so where was Tony Stark in all of this? Was he on Earth? No.
That's a good point.
No, because if you look at it, everything around him was a different world. He's on some other world. All right, so that leaves a question. Who's running the Hulkbuster?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think about that?
That's a great question.
So here's my hypothesis. Now, I don't know. We have like 6 months to play around with this. I don't know what's going to happen. But I honestly think that Dr. Banner is struggling against himself with the Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. And I think in an effort to try to prove that he can do it as Banner. If you notice, he was working and tweaking on the Hulkbuster hand in one of the scenes. So I think he's in the Hulkbuster while Tony is in another world facing Thanos.
That's a good call. That's a very good call.
You're welcome.
Man, that's good.
You're welcome, that's man.
There's a scene in the trailer that I noticed. It's the scene when Doctor Strange, Wong, Banner, and Tony Stark are all standing there, and you see all the destruction in the background. Tony Stark is walking towards the camera, taking his glasses off. If you look in the background, Strange, Wong, and Banner are frozen. They are not moving. There's no movement on their bodies, and Banner's arms are like this. So Tony Stark is walking forwards, taking his glasses off, and it looks like they're frozen in time. So that obviously has something to do with
maybe Thanos has, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord.
Every time. I'm going to have to go back and watch this 78 times to see all the things that I've seen.
Well, I mean, there's actually even I don't think Mike, he may have these pulled up, but we could probably go ahead and talk about this right now since it's on the topic of Avengers Infinity War. And Mike, he's probably cussing at me right now. You're screwing up with my hierarchy.
Just real quick before you dive any deeper,
yeah, go for
I'm going to tell you my first impression. I was literally jaw open.
Yeah.
And just wide eyed going,
yeah.
Like that for a full, I feel like yeah. I was frozen in the time with the time. Yeah. So I was just sitting there. I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this was like every 10 seconds. I was saying, oh my God, that's really awesome. And I was like expecting it to like stop getting awesome. And then, you know, they wham in the Guardians at the end. And I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. And it just like keeps going. It's like a snowball effect.
It was.
And I was just like, let's watch it again.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah. It's so beautiful.
It.
I mean,
let's watch it again.
Marvel has got their stuff together. I'm not lying, guys. It is so good what they're doing. Now, on the topic of what I was talking about earlier, there was a image that was posted by someone on Instagram this past week. And this is in the line of what we're talking about with the Infinity War. It was an image. Now, for, I don't know if Mike has that image of the green one right now. But there is an image that we've always seen in production when the Hulk is being videoed or camera or captured on film. There, you know, the prosthetics of the green arm is always captured. So, you know, and of course they substitute the green arm with the full CGI Hulk. Well, there was one little detail that was posted in this picture that has the entire internet buzzing right now, especially if you're a Hulk fan. And the image shows Mark Ruffalo being grabbed by the throat, not by a purple hand, that would be Thanos, not by a green hand, that would be the Incredible Hulk green, but a gray Hulk hand. So,
and Banner can't be grabbed by Hulk because
unless he's Hulk. Mentally separated and Thanos is working with him psychologically.
What?
Think Scarlet Witch. You know how Scarlet Witch can make you see things and have visions? Well, I mean, Thanos, if he has all six stones, he can do whatever the heck he wants.
That's true.
So,
but does he get all the stones the first movie?
I don't know.
Because they only show two.
I got to say something, Lindsay. I ain't seen it yet. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, that's really some really interesting speculation, though, if you think about it. You see the image here. And it in my circles, I'm belong to several insider Marvel cinematic groups. And a lot of them are saying it's not Thanos. And if you see there's Wong there, and you got Tony Stark, RDJ, down in the other suit there. something's going on here, and I think that we're going to see a psychological. Now, we were told by Kevin Feige there's going to be an Incredible Hulk film embedded in three upcoming Marvel movies. And I think that Banner is going to be having his own adventure in this as well, and we're going to see some stuff that we've never seen before, and I think it's going to blow our minds.
You know, this trailer did answer one of the questions that I brought up back in the Thor show, is that did Loki actually take the Tesseract?
He did.
And this trailer confirmed said, it. Oh, hell yes, he did.
He did. He sure did.
He sure did.
Well, you darn tootin', sister.
You darn tootin'.
You know it.
All right, so that's Infinity War. We've talked about it, and we want to know what you think about it. If there's something that you picked up that we didn't, or if there's a little Easter egg or tidbit or reference or whatever, let us know. Leave us a comment below, or just head on over to our Twitter and Instagram and tag us. We want to know what you picked up as well. But Austin, lead us on in through the news, if you don't mind.
All right, let's talk about another humongous crossover. The 2017 Arrowverse crossover proved to be anything but a crisis for the CW, delivering the best ratings for Supergirl, Arrow, and DC's Legend of Tomorrow since last year's event. Not to be left out, The Flash raced away with its best numbers since the season premiere. Mm. The four-part crisis on Earth-X played out on Monday's episode of Supergirl, the first part of the event. Arrow followed at 9 p.m. with the second, and then on Tuesday, The Flash was part three and concluding with Legends of Tomorrow. Now, I don't know if you guys were able to check this out, but this crossover to me was the best they've done so far. And my God, the most emotional thing that I've ever seen on the CW. Now, I'm not going into spoilers, but holy cow.
Well,
this was intense.
I have a confession to make. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I haven't seen the crossover yet. I know.
Calm down.
Because here's the thing. I'm like two episodes away from finishing Punisher.
Oh, baby. Okay.
So I'm having to choose my battles here. Do I want to see John Bernthal kick some butt as the Punisher, or do I want to? And of course, you know, I do have the crossover saved on my DVR, so I will be able to watch it probably this week.
Yeah.
And I will be able to give you my full thoughts on it. But I'm super excited.
No, you're not alone in that boat. I have not gotten a chance to see the crossover either, but I'm catching up. I have just a couple more episodes of Supergirl, and then I am diving in.
Nice. Oh, you guys are excited about the
crossover. Supergirl's really good this year, season 3.
It is.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of taken away with it. But all right, Miss Badger, what do you got for us?
Yeah. Well, let's carry on with some more DC news. We're going to move into the DC Entertainment that has released its first look at the Robin costume set to be featured on the forthcoming Titan live action series from executive producers Greg Berlanti, Avika Goldsman, and Sarah Schlechter. Yeah, we're just going to say that's good.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales actor Brenton Thwaites, star as that he's going to be Dick Grayson, who steps forward in the series to lead a new young team of heroes, including Starfire, Raven, and Beast Boy, drawn from all corners of the DC universe. Dick Grayson is one of the most important and iconic heroes in the DC universe, and it wasn't easy to find him, but we have, DC Chief Creative Officer Geoff Johns said. Brenton has the emotional depth, heart, and danger and physical presence of Batman's former protege and the Titans' future leader. We are extremely lucky he has chosen to bring his talents to this project and this character. Titans is set to debut in 2018 on the DC-branded direct-to-consumer digital service operated by Warner Brothers Digital Networks.
Interesting.
This is cool that they're bringing a live-action series because, you know, for years they've had the cartoon, the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
So they've always had, you know, that group going on, and there's Cyclops in it and some other really cute characters. My kids love it.
I have to say,
and this it's really, really cute.
A really cool-looking Robin. I mean,
he looks great.
He looks good. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he is straight out of the comics.
I think he doesn't look like it's super dork.
No,
he's definitely got some raw edge to him.
You look at him really closely, and we all know that Nightwing is Dick Grayson Robin as well, but kind of has got a little bit of Nightwing to him in the eyes.
I agree. I agree. I was thinking when I first saw this, of course, it's a Robin outfit, but he's got a little Nightwing to him.
That's right.
And this guy's actually – he's a good actor.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched him in the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I didn't love the movie, but mm-hmm. he was very good in it. So I think he can pull this off. He's got a good voice, and then he projects himself well as the hero type. So mm-hmm. I think he can pull it off.
That's awesome. And I'm really excited. And this is really interesting because now this is first news that we're getting. Well, not first news, but one of the big heavy hitters that are coming to the new streaming service at Warner Brothers Digital. And it kind of seems like to me a lot of these major film companies are going to their own streaming service because it's hard to compete with the mega giants like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. And Disney is one of the first ones to announce that they're doing their own streaming service. So at the end of this year, they're pulling out all of their branded themes, which includes all Disney animation, all Marvel comics, anything like that.
Star Wars.
And it raises a lot of questions. What's going to happen to the Netflix shows that like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Defenders, etc., Punisher. So what's going to happen? We don't know. So interesting, but time will tell. But moving on, we're here with speaking of digital streaming and Netflix. Netflix has officially announced that Stranger Things, has been renewed for season 3, and fangirls around the world are going, yay. So the announcement should come as no surprise, as the first two seasons have proved to be gigantic mega hits for the network. Now, Netflix made the announcement via Twitter, stating, "For the love of Steve, so hold tight, baby darts, season 3 is officially happening." So it's unknown what the plot line will be for season 3 in announcing the renewal, but Netflix did not reveal the release date or the episode count for the upcoming third season. Now, the first season was 8 episodes and the second was up to 9. Could Netflix be looking into increasing the episode count again with the third season? I could probably do with 10 or 12 episodes of Stranger Things.
And bring it on.
Yeah, it's
as long as they don't make the story drag out to where you just want to beat yourself over the head with a stick.
I agree with that.
I'm okay with that. It needs to be the right length to get enough bang for every episode.
Darth Baca over in the chat room says, I heard that they are staying on Netflix. And he's talking about the Marvel shows and everything that was we were talking about. So, I mean, time will tell on those kind of things. But I'm really excited to see Stranger Things 3, though. There's so much they can do with that. And so we're going to be diving into that here very shortly. But before we do, we got a couple of hit it of the weeks. Now, I'm going to do my hit it of the week, and then we're going to have Mike come in and do his. So we're going to do the hit it. Be right back. Hold on.
And now it's time for PopX's hit it of the week.
All right. So this is PopX's hit it of the week, and this one goes out to my beloved Miss Alexandra, who this past week I turned 38 years old. No, don't applaud, please. But she picked up something for me that I have not seen on the newsstand, and she knows my taste so well. And Time Life magazine has composed an entire magazine that is The Rise of Superheroes. Cool. Now, this is probably reverse on everybody seeing the stream. I apologize. Just look at it in a mirror and you'll see it right. But just really cool stuff here. I want to just show you just how cool. Now, it's broken down into about 10 or 12 chapters. And there is a homage to Mr. Adam West. Look at some of these photos of Adam West. He's there with his mask off, reading the script for an episode of Batman. I mean, what a great patriarch. And the foreword for the entire magazine, was written by Stan Lee. And so there's I will read you the end of this paragraph, the end of the foreword, because it's really beautiful. He's talking about, the introductions of things like Peter Parker and the Incredible Hulk. And the last paragraph says, "I can't write it anymore just now. Dr. Octopus is trying to break into my study and I've got to contact Spidey while there's still time. And remember, never omit the hyphen from Spider-Man's name or he just might ignore your call. Excelsior." It breaks down Greek mythology. I mean, it's pretty deep, and I highly recommend it. It's only on newsstands for about 30 days. So if you go to your local newsstand, Walmart, Target, wherever they sell trade paperbacks or whatever, you will get this copy, and I highly recommend it.
That's going to go on eBay for a couple $100.
Look at the back. Yeah. Look at the back.
Oh, that is
I mean, it's just, it's reeking of superhero goodness. So I highly recommend it. It's about $12 for that magazine, and it's well worth it. So, anywho, Mike, where is Mike?
Here I am.
Hey, Mikey, what's up, man?
Here I am.
What you got for
us? What's going on?
What's
I can just get two quick things.
Okay.
One, I'm just since we're on the topic of Stranger Things tonight, I was able to take a road trip, and from mostly everybody knows that the show is filmed here in Georgia, and we took a road trip down to Hawkins Middle School.
What? Oh,
so awesome!
Wait, this is it's supposed to be Indiana, right?
Four or 5 hours ago.
Wow,
we took a trip down there, and because I did hear that it was still left the way it was for the show, so I decided to take a run down there.
Look at that, guys!
And there it is.
Now, this is supposed to be Hawkins, Indiana, right? But it's actually it's Georgia. Wow, yeah, look at that.
An old school that they used years ago called Patrick Henry Academy that was closed down, and majority of his film, you see the film, the exterior scenes, and they do film on the interior as well. The hallways we use are all from the school.
Wow. So,
dude, that's
and
really
Mikey,
awesome.
You said earlier that you live like, what, 10, 15 minutes away from this place?
Yeah. The school that they use is about 15 minutes north of me, and downtown Jackson, which is downtown Hawkins, is 15 minutes south of me. So I'm kind of in between both.
But, that's so cool.
I figured I'd just share that real quick. And I had one other quick item that I had I want to show that I picked up. This is actually something that's fairly new, just came out approximately about a week ago, which is the Stranger Things box.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It comes in its
Are you
VHS
serious? Oh,
that
my.
Is awesome.
All around.
Wow.
That's and insane.
That inside will have.
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Dude. Look at that. Is that cool,
Stranger
man.
Things in its 4K glory.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And it comes with a poster, and behind the insert is also the Blu-rays.
Yeah, there you go.
And on the back side of the insert is a Demogorgon.
Oh my goodness.
Dude,
it's the
that is
that just keeps
so
on giving.
Beautiful. So now, where can people pick that up? Is that an Amazon special or?
This is a Target exclusive. This particular version, the regular Blu-ray version, was already out, and they released the 4K version. I want to say the release date was like November 27th.
Okay.
And I got wind of it, and I said I have to have it. I mean, you could watch Stranger Things at 4K on streaming, but this is that's a collector's
box set, though. Yeah. I mean, that's like. Yeah. And the fact that they included it as a VHS copy, I mean, come on,
that's cool. Yeah.
That reminds me so many times going to the video store and dropping, you know, $3.18 for.
I love how they just
it does
they immerse everything charge. That they do with this show.
Look at that; it says charge if not rewound. Yes. Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
The two versions are different. It only has the one sticker on the other one. And the inside has a poster of the second season, but the other one just has a Demogorgon
Dude,
poster.
That is so cool.
If you have the ability to play 4K DVDs, that's the package to get.
That's cool, man.
Dude, that's so awesome. And you were telling me something before we continue on further. You were telling me something about the UK has released a vinyl of the actual soundtrack to Stranger Things, but it's not your normal box set, right? It's unique.
Yeah, the normal box sets that Amazon carries on vinyl are the normal black vinyl, and also there's about 8 variants. Wow. But the only one that has I don't have the picture I can show right now. I moved it off my page, but I had to order it from Amazon UK, and it's being shipped airmail over from the UK.
Jeez.
And it was a Cyber Monday special that I had to grab. It's 4 vinyl discs. It comes with 8 posters, and it comes in a real thick collector's box. And
dude,
that should be here hopefully another week
dude,
or so.
Dude, you're converting your house into an 80s montage of just pure glory.
Well, you know me. I mean,
I know you.
The 80s, you know, I got to collect, got to have it. But yeah.
That's probably why you and I get along so well. Our 80s nostalgia just, I mean, it's through the roof. But, well, I think that catches us up for all the news. Is everybody good? All right, so we're going to...
I just want to close with one thing. Yeah. Speaking of the 80s, I just want to give a shout-out to a classmate, Diane, from back home from elementary school that's tuning in for the Stranger Things show. She's the one that requested this show. So on this show, awesome. We listen and we give. So,
hi, Diane. Thank you for the suggestion.
Well, hello there.
She's also my Top Gear, my original Top Gear and Grand Tour buddy. We enjoy that show, the British car show.
Hi, Diane.
All right. That's awesome, man.
With that, I'm going to turn it back over. I'm going to be Winston, since nobody else wants to be.
Oh, you're going to drop that out. Okay. All right. All right.
Let's go to our favorite vacation destination, the head on out.
All right. Merry Christmas. Oh, my gosh. That guy, I love him to death. All right, guys, we are going to actually dive into Stranger Things Season 2 right now, and so we're going to go ahead and drop that spoiler alert warning. So if you haven't caught up on Stranger Things Season 2, I would probably say pause it at this point and then come back and check out some of this nerdy goodness. But we'll be right back after this.
Danger. You are about to enter a Pop-Ex spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is... no return. You have been warned.
Will's talking to me again. Wait.
It's glowing.
Hold on.
What? No.
Oh, he wants a Slim Jim?
R?
An Ecto Cooler.
In. Run.
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway. All right. So, sorry. I have to channel my inner Will. But, man, gosh, where do we start? I mean, this is such an awesome season, and we're going to do a little bit of a roundtable discussion, and we do have some Easter eggs to share with you right here towards the end. That's pretty awesome, some things you may not have caught, but if you're an 80s retro enthusiast like us four, you probably would have picked them up already. But so Stranger Things Season 2, let's start with Lindsay Badger. Let's let the ladies go first. Lindsay. Oh. What was some highlights? What was some aha moments? What was some so-so moments? I know.
I
and your shirt is awesome, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Look at that. Look at that.
It has the boys. It has the, you know, the...
Look at that. Oh, nice.
And, of course, I have my matching Christmas light leggings on, too. I'm not going to show
Cool.
just take my word for it. No, the Stranger Things. I was so looking forward to this. I had anticipation built up. Their marketing for pushing it out was amazing. Mm-hmm. So it just got me even more excited. I was really happy to see that they were introducing new characters to get to know and hate or love.
Indeed.
Mad Max was kind of an interesting character at first. She was kind of introduced as being almost like a bad kid, not necessarily, but kind of just
rough around the edges.
Do I dare say almost a little bit bitchy?
Oh yeah.
Kind of like that, you know, she's just kind of sassy, you know, boys are dumb kind of mentality that most girls her age probably have to an extent, but, I loved how the boys were almost like fighting each other head over heels, trying to get her attention pretty much the entire series, which I really loved that. It was a really cute little humorous side storyline that you could follow through, and it kind of lightened up some of the heavier moments.
You kind of hit on something there that's pretty plausible though, Lindsay, about how her attitude was kind of, you know, a little rough around the edges. But I think as we go in through it and we get into season two, we kind of understand, you know,
we get to know why
the trouble
they show,
she's
they show
having.
Us why. Yeah. And if you kind of forgive her for some of her behavior because of her home life, the way her older brother behaves towards her.
And I think that's awesome how they did that, because they knocked it out of the park, because that's so true and relevant to kids today. You know,
definitely.
You know, it's
because I mean, you know, at school, you don't know.
No, you never know.
So,
Sorry, I didn't mean to take you off your train of thought there.
No, you're totally fine. I think that was a really great little side note, and to introduce some love story with the boys, because you know the boys are getting older. This is going to happen. It's not just the older kids that are carrying on the romance through this show. So that's really kind of cool to see that phase into the younger boys. But the boys are still boys. They're not necessarily as innocent and playful as they were in the first episode, where they were all about the games. They were all about, you know, this, this, and this. They still are interested in the geeky, nerdy stuff, like, you know, the Ghostbusters and all of those other things. And they still have their walkie-talkies and stuff, but they're very much more down to earth and a little more brought into reality after what had all happened in the first season. Mm-hmm. So they were a lot more serious about how things were going on. You can, with the group of boys themselves, you notice a little bit of separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's Lucas and Dustin are kind of their team. Mm-hmm. And then the other two boys are kind of their own. Yeah. And so you kind of see those closer relationship ties. And it's almost like the group is breaking apart, I almost felt like, a little bit. But then they all mm-hmm. come back together at the end. I loved how they introduced Eleven back mm-hmm. into the series, and her relationship with Hopper was amazing.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, so amazing.
What a great dynamic,
and,
you know.
I love how Eleven is allowed to grow and explore herself mm-hmm. and to discover her background from where she came from and who she is and who she wants to be. It's not just what she's expected to be. Mm-hmm. So, and of course she comes back in and helps save the day a little bit, but I think Cliff. Overall all the characters are so great. Yeah, hi Cliffy's
in the chat room.
There was so many different storylines going on that kept you entertained. If one was getting a little stale, there was another one thriving back up, so you kind of are sorting through a whole bunch of different little things that kind of make it all come back together. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I'm just going to stop there.
No, it's later. Absolutely, it's absolutely
we
great.
Go all day.
I mean, I could go all day. That's why I'm like, okay, you know, this is a, like, we need to like share.
Well, I think for me, you know, having lived in the greatest decade era, I think that ever was and ever will be. Now, if you grew up in the 30s and 40s, you would probably say the same thing. But I grew up in the 80s, and it was, for me, that was my childhood. That was my coming of age. That was my mm-hmm. adolescence. That was who I was and am today. And in watching this show, I can definitely tell that the directors and producers, even the actors, embody the true essence of what it was they to do. Be in the 80s in 1983, 84, 85, you know, when Reagan was running for president. And so we get that full dynamic here. And there's so many references to 80s pop culture. It's just almost every frame has something from the 80s in it. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, even right down to the commercials that Eleven was watching on TV as she was changing the channel with her mind. It was just amazing. Hey, what's up, Jamie? Jamie, a friend of mine from right here in good old Claremont, Florida, is hanging out with me.
Yeah.
And cool. So I want to say hello to him and Mr. Cliff and Typhlosion Explosion, all in Darth Baca. Everybody's hanging out in the chat room. Yeah. But
I can't remember specifically which kitchen it was. I think it might have been Joyce's. But do you guys remember when you went to the supermarket and you got the little stamps?
Yes.
That you licked and stuck on them? They yes. have some of those in one of the kitchens. I can't remember which kitchen. I think it's Joyce's.
Yeah. There was like a – it wasn't a food stamp, was it? It was like a
– No, it wasn't a food stamp. It was like those saver things. Like you get so
yeah,
many. And you
like a saver like coupons.
For
yeah.
like a
Yeah, you get six poultry stamps and you get a free chicken or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
something like that. No. They had different specials in different stores, but I did see some of those in the series. I was like, oh my God, that's detail
if I'm not mistaken, there was an 80s chain called Pick Pack. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it was an 80s retro chain and they did the stamp thing. And my mom was a big stamper and couponer and all that stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, getting back to the show, I think just the essence of the content too, that was just – sprinkled throughout every scene, whether you're playing Dragon's Lair in the arcade or you're, you know, watching the Terminator commercial on television as Eleven is seeing, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger for the first time, or mm-hmm. you're seeing all of this stuff, just you're like, oh my gosh, I remember that. Oh my gosh, I remember that. And there's just so many things that we, not only do we as adults today connect with that material And I know, Austin, you're more of the quote unquote millennial. So you were more of a 90s kid, as I was more of an 80s kid. But even you are knowledgeable enough to get the pop culture references. And the continuity between the episodes, I got to be honest, me and Alex were sitting here one night, my wife, and we were watching, and I think we were on like episode 3. And it was like 5 o'clock in the evening. We were sitting here and I started noticing it was dark outside and she has to go to bed at 8 o'clock every night because she has to get up for work. And mm-hmm. I looked and we went through 4 episodes and we didn't even think about it. And we haven't even made dinner yet. And it was just so good.
That's how seamless the story is.
I mean, it is like boom, 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 boom. And you are just sucked right into the storyline. And there's so many throwbacks to great films like Aliens and The Goonies. And we're going to talk about some of these Easter eggs later, but oh my gosh, I am just overblown. And I'm probably going to watch it again before New Year's because I there's things in there I missed. There's things in there that I will probably find again in my second, exploration of the series. But it definitely, for me, not only series one is a beast within itself. Series two, I think it's its own vehicle that is starting to branch out the storylines with all the characters. We're seeing a different side of Hopper now. Hopper mm-hmm. has connected with Will's mom, and there's a little bit of a romance there that's kind of maybe starting to bloom after Sean Astin's character, quote unquote, passed away. So we'll talk about that as well. But there's so many dynamics. And even with Mad Max and how she's a troubled kid at home, her brother is a complete idiot. I mean, he's just so off the rails evil, and he doesn't really care. He's just out to kick anybody's butt, and he doesn't really care about it.
I just hated him more and more every time I saw him. Like, every second of screen time he got, the more I hated him.
Yeah,
I
was like, but he was one of those characters. He's an antagonist. That's a character term for him, but he's an antagonist that kind of makes you want to hate him, whereas, there's certain characters out there that you love to hate, like Negan from Walking Dead. You hate him, but you love to hate him. Because he's so fun.
I was hoping that he would turn a new leaf at the end of the show or something, but no.
This dude's like,
there's no saving
him. And I got to say, for me, I think one of the great characters of this episode that may not be getting as much attention as he should be is Sean Astin. And I think I think his character Bob. I think that awesome. His character channeled so much, that I guess pureness, mm-hmm. purity.
Yeah.
Just a really sweet dude. He works at Radio Shack and he tries his best to be there for the family. And we see where his true heart lies towards the end of the series when Bob sacrifices himself for Will. And justice for Bob. Yes. So I want to step off of my soapbox for a little bit and I want to let Mr. Austin Burke take over for a little bit. So Austin, give us your thoughts on it.
Guys, hi, I'm Austin Burke, and I think I have an addiction to Stranger Things because I've watched this season twice.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
My boy.
I watched it once, and then I went back and watched it again with my parents as I did the first season, and they loved it. They got through it in 2 days, and my mom falls asleep 30 minutes into a movie, and she didn't fall asleep once. So I was very impressed with how much this reaches out to. Yeah, with how this reaches out to people that don't even – love watching movies and love watching television shows. That's the power of Stranger Things. But I want to talk about a couple things that maybe I didn't love about the series because, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I love it. It's fantastic, wonderful, one of the best things ever. But there are a couple of things that I had a couple of issues with for me and maybe not for everybody, but episode 7 of the season, the one where we go off and we do, that was one for me that didn't work. Mm. And that's the first time I've ever said that about an episode of Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. It did not work for me. And 11 does a wonderful job, and I love how it ties into the end, and I think this episode is needed. A lot of people online are saying, skip it, skip that episode. No, do not skip that episode. Mm-mm. You have to watch it because it kind of brings everything together at the end. I just didn't like how it was handled, and I didn't like the clumsy side characters with the mohawks. You guys remember Batman and Robin when Batgirl goes off and joins the biker gang? Yeah. Okay, well, that's what those people reminded me of. And it really bothered me. Yeah. But other than that, and maybe Doc Ray Montgomery, Billy, the jerk face, other than his character being a little bit over the top at times, I had literally no other problems with this season. Because I thought the thing that this season did wonderfully was it took characters, like Lindsay said, and it separated them into groups that maybe you didn't expect. My favorite group was Dustin and Steve, the older brother.
Yeah.
It was so great. The older brother and younger brother relationship, how it all comes together at the end when he's putting the hair gel in. Yeah. Steve actually might be my favorite character of this season.
He's pretty awesome.
It's amazing because he starts
a lot this season.
He did. I think he has the best arc from season one to two compared to anyone, because season one, he starts out a little bit like Billy does in this season. But then he turns into, I think, one of the biggest protagonists. And I think that's why they brought in Billy in the second season, because they needed a human antagonist. And Steve is now one of the good guys, you know. So I think doing things to characters like that is one of the reasons why season two shines. And then, of course, you have Hopper and Joyce just doing their thing, killing it all, as always. I contend that I think Hopper should get nominated for an Emmy. And you know who else I think should get nominated? The kid who plays Will. Because the things that he does in this show, acting-wise, it's some of the most fantastic. I mean, the kid literally—
At his age, too.
He does things that people can't do that are in their 40s and 50s, but this kid is shedding tears. He's laying on the ground shaking. He's standing there frozen, and just the way that he moves his eyes and the way that he adjusts his face to situations, I think, is incredible. So I think the acting, you can see how the kids are getting better as the series goes along, and I think when it comes to seasons four, if we get a season five, I think these kids are going to be top-notch. And like they are now, I think they're going to continue to get casted in everything. But there's really, I mean, there's not much more I can say that you all already haven't said, but I think that season two for me is right up there with season one. Yeah, it's just as good.
And that was a question we had over in the chat room. Jamie Rivera, my friend here in Claremont, he said, do you all think that season two is better than season one? And my take on that is actually, I think they're both their own beasts.
They are very different.
They both carry their own weight. Yeah. There's not one that really one over the other. And how did you guys feel about Nancy and Jonathan finally solidifying that?
Oh, finally. Jeez.
Yeah.
I've been waiting on that. Oh, man. I wanted to watch the whole thing. I just wanted to see how it played out. You know, I just get it done. Okay. I mean, that was, I loved the payoff to that, because I just feel bad for Steve.
I think it was really awkward where it all happened.
At that guy's house.
Yeah.
But I like
the creepy guys.
Yeah, the creepy.
I'm happy, he set that
up.
I'm happy
we worked through. Yeah, he did.
He set it up so good, because he could read. He was kind of a weird character, honestly. But he could read. He could read how they were feeling about each other. Mm-hmm. And when you're kids, when you're that age, you're not gonna go for it.
No.
I wouldn't have went. I still won't go for it. And I'm about to get married. But that guy guy was really the one that pushed them towards each other, and it worked out. So there you go.
And you brought up a really good point about that one episode that everybody's saying, you know, you need to skip. It's episode seven, The Lost Sister. Yeah. And I think that, that even though it does kind of stray away, I don't know if you guys read this on the internet. It does stray away from the traditional storytelling of Stranger Things to be able to tell a story within a story.
It feels very out of place.
But there was a huge banter about this on the internet, especially on Reddit. And I don't know if you saw the scenes where Eleven is walking down the street and you see Chicago in the background. Now, fans saying because of the positioning of the buildings and where those background buildings were, that street would technically be right in smack dab in the middle of Lake Michigan. That whole street is dubbed in. There's several shots, because if you look at that stream of buildings. Now, I've been to the shore of Lake Michigan looking at that exact view, and I know exactly what these fans are talking about. It's one little mistake that they forgot, and somehow so technically that whole street would be right in the middle of the water. But that's one little qualm that I may have about it. They should have gotten a different shot, because they probably only had so much stock footage from Chicago that they could use. But I'm sorry, I was just going to say, how hard would it have been to just, like, you know, get a street thing? But,
there were a couple of things that stuck out to me as obvious storytelling bits that you were like, no, why are they doing this? Okay. Yeah. We all love Bob, you know, justice for Bob.
Poor Bob.
Instant I met him, I was like, he's dead.
You can kind of see the writing on the wall.
I
said
that out loud whenever I was watching. I watched it with my husband, and I was just like, this guy is dead. I would be surprised if he makes it halfway through, and he probably he made it about halfway through.
Well, I think originally he was supposed to be a minor character, and then the guys realized, my God, Sean Astin just sent in an audition tape. So they expanded his role, and I think they realized as they were going along, they need to be bigger.
Well, we are talking about Sean Astin. I mean, he is one of the founding members of the Goonies.
For what his character's worth, he did a phenomenal job pulling it. You know, you couldn't have probably had a better Bob.
Now, at first, when I was looking at Bob in the first couple episodes, I'm like, all right, I don't know. I can't put my finger on him. Is he part of the Hawkins thing, or is he?
I thought he could be evil.
I thought he was a plant. I thought he was a plant to get to Nancy. I was like,
just too good.
Austin, your brain and mine works the same exact way.
Another little story qualm that I was just like, this is such a bad idea, you guys. Dart.
Yeah. Dart.
Or as we like to call him in the 80s, Mogwai.
Yes. Dart or... Or D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan.
Our little slimy, somewhat polywog that turns into a demodog.
Well, we learned that the polywog was actually the thing that came out of Will's mouth at the end of season one. Yes.
That's why I was just like, why didn't you smash this thing? Why did you think it was a good idea? First of all, bring it in your house.
The evil and darkness, it was almost like a virus or a parasite had germinated inside of Will. And so Will crazy. Created this version 2 of the Demogorgon, if you think about it. Oh, that's so crazy. But I think honestly, though, I think all the characters were just so spot on. And let's talk about Paul Reiser for a second.
Yes.
Paul Reiser. I mean, if you've seen Aliens 2, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Paul Reiser in Aliens 2 was this corporate antagonist for Sigourney Weaver's Ripley. And he's like, oh, this is totally safe. We've got this. Don't worry. Yeah. And he almost verbatim in this season says the same exact thing in Stranger Things. He's like, you could trust us. We're safe. It's okay. And, of course, we saw that Mr. Reiser got his demise as well at the end of season 2 when, you know. But he did die, right? Did he die?
No, he lived.
He lived.
No, he lived.
He lived. That's he right. Lived. His body
well, he died. Almost
got it. He almost got it, yeah.
But he ended up, I think the thing about Paul Reiser's character.
He helped it out. He helped him out, though.
He did. He did end up being a different character from what I expected. Yeah. I expected him to be this hardcore evil dude, kind of the opposite of what I thought Bob was going to be. But I actually kind of liked it. And I hope he comes back. I hope we see him again. Because I think Paul Reiser did a really good job.
But again, we got two really heavy hitters from the 80s. We got Paul Reiser. We got Sean Astin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, two of the greatest 80s cult icon films, one the horror genre and one the adventure explorer genre. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, man, we can go on all night about how awesome this show was. But before we got like 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure we dive into some of these Easter eggs because some of these are really good. And I want to make sure you guys get some of these visual references because these producers and directors of this show have went above and beyond. And I was reading an article. There's over 1,000 references in Stranger Things to 80s pop culture. Phenomenal.
My
goodness. Phenomenal. So let's talk about this. Now, this is the first Easter egg that we're going to give you. Now, I'm not going to insult any of you guys because you already know your Ghostbusters history. If you don't, then shame on you. But the costumes that were worn by Mike and all the fans, except to say that they're Winston debate. Now let's talk about the Winston. I don't want to play Winston because I'm a black kid. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He wasn't a real scientist.
That was so funny.
That was so funny.
I loved how they intentionally did not drop the race card, and they were like, he's not a scientist.
That was so cute. I thought the banter was great, and I thought that just look at these little homemade outfits that they got for Halloween. They're using like what is that vacuum cleaner hosing?
The sequence with the moms taking the pictures.
It's pretty cute. Yeah,
that was like a flashback, and then the little sister going.
And then the old lady when they show up to the door to trick or treat, she goes, "Oh, little exterminators!" And they're like, "Top lady."
No, it's Ghostbusters. But to take some time to pursue the costumes in the background of Hawkins, Indiana, the high school. Halloween Party. I mean, we get some really cool references. If you stop in some of the frames and notice, there's a lady dressed like Madonna from Like a Virgin, 1984 for you. There's also Alex Owens from Flashdance. There's an homage to him. And then we even have Rocky from Rocky Horror Picture Show, 1976. And Johnny. There was a kid dressed as Johnny from The Karate Kid. What?
Rocky from Rocky. Not
Rocky. I mean, Rocky Balboa. I'm sorry.
Not Rocky.
I was thinking,
I was like, whoa, that's too.
For a moment there, I had visions. I had visions of Tim Curry in my head, and I was just, oh, yeah. I was just, Rocky. Anyway, sorry, my apology. Rocky from Rocky.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
I mean,
that guy. But then we also have Billy's Keg Stand. That's from Karate Kid, and there's also a puking Bluto from Animal House. There in the bushes. If you notice, there's a guy dressed in a what is that, tunic? What is that? What you call it? Or what is the Greek?
Toga.
Thank you, Lindsay Badger. I won't even ask you how you know the word toga, but that's okay. So the next one is a kind of a cool reference, and this is more of a visual reference, and I think Mike's got these images queued up, but there is a direct Close Encounters of the Third Kind homage here. And if you go back and you look at some of Steven Spielberg and some of these, some of the original things that they created, as it George Lucas and just, you know, all these, there's this one scene where this kid is opening the door in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and there is this alien. See, look at that, the alien presence is coming out. And Steven Spielberg, when he created this, it was so, imagine seeing this for the first time in the cinema. And you see this alien, this glow, this warmth. You don't know if it's good, if it's bad. Well, almost verbatim, Stranger Things recreates that. And Will, in his vision, opens up the door, and we have that same ominous orange glow. And it's pretty cool. I think we have that second image here for Will's vision as well from the, what is it, Upside Down. Maybe not. Yeah, well, I don't know. He's maybe he's not. Yeah. Maybe Mike had to go to the can or something. But anyway, moving on. All right, so I got one more, and then we're gonna turn these other guys loose. There's also some great references to many other 80s films. There it is. Look at that. He finally found
that's
it.
So weird.
Isn't that cool though? He created Steven Spielberg's. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even stop there. There's a lot of ET references as well in this film. But there's also some great references to many 80s films, including 84. Gremlins. Now that's where the polywog comes in. You can't, you know, it doesn't like the light. It's really, and you can't feed it certain things. But you look at the Mogwai. What has happened to the Mogwai? You feed it after midnight, and it morphs into this evil gremlin. Well, what happens to the polywog? It becomes a Demogorgon, and he's feeding it nougat, and it's just eating it. Yeah,
everybody loves nougat.
And so that was a catalyst for episode 3's The Polywog. Now, does that sound familiar of an unknown creature called the Mogwai morphing into the evil dark gremlin? Now, in summer of 1984, the movie Gremlins came out and forever cemented a few rules on the care of keeping of a Mogwai. Now, you don't want to get them wet, and you definitely don't want to feed them after midnight. Now, the third rule is often forgotten about, but it looks like it applies to Dustin's slimy little pet, the Dart, as we'll call him, as well. Keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him. Does that sound familiar? Now, I don't know about the killing part, but Dart's aversion to light certainly explains why later in the season certain things come out at night mostly.
Aww.
Think about it. It's a pretty intellectual thought going into this, right? What do you got for us? Austin Burke.
Well, we have already hit on the two actors that rose to fame in the 80s. That's talking about, of course, Paul Reiser, who was the corporate antagonist for 1986's Aliens, and Sean Astin from The Goonies in 1985. Mm-hmm. But what about the bully character of Doc Ray Montgomery? Now, of course, he is not from the 80s, but did his character seem really familiar, like a young RDJ or Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire in 1985? Mm-hmm. In fact, this is very interesting. The Duffers told Montgomery, who was also in Power Rangers earlier this year, he's the Red Ranger, to emulate Jack Nicholson's addled villain in The Shining as he torments his stepsister, Max, and her new friends. Now, thinking back, he really does kind of remind me of Jack Nicholson in The Shining. What a weird thing to think about.
Danny That's, boy.
He was very exaggerated.
Yeah.
And he just a straight up douche.
I think honestly, Montgomery embodied Jack Nicholson, but he looks so much like Rob Lowe. It's insane. Oh,
does.
I mean, if you see a picture of the of Montgomery and Rob Lowe together,
insane. That's weird.
That's insane.
That's,
so
that's creepy.
And I kept watching this every time I saw his character come on, I'm like, why does he look so familiar? Why does he look so familiar? He looks, and I kept thinking like Robert Downey Jr. No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's Rob Lowe. Yeah. St. Elmo's Fire.
Rob Lowe.
There it is.
That's cool.
So Lindsay Badger.
He may be evil, but he's still good looking. We'll just have to give him that little positive note, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of good-looking dudes from the Stranger Things cast on the red carpet, Steve, the actor that plays Steve, Joe Keery, was credited. He credited his genetics for his incredible head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, we can thank Fabergé organic shampoo and conditioner for his amazing look. Though Steve mentions the famously well-coiffed Farrah Fawcett,
yes,
who put her name on the Fabergé hairspray, it was the similarly blonde and genetically blessed Heather Locklear who represented the brand in a 1984 TV spot that encouraged users to tell a friend about Fabergé. Mission accomplished, Steve, because you know Dustin came to the snowball and his hair was like,
I mean, he had it spiked.
After he had that little Big Brother talk with him. So funny.
Well, he kind of looked like Ducky a little bit with that hair spiked up. Remember that from, yeah. He looked a little bit like Ducky. What is that, Pretty in Pink, isn't it?
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Pretty in Pink? Yeah.
He was channeling, it was like a cross between like a Grease slick back and a Jufro.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Jufro, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first, only on PopX. So, we got just a few more here, and we're going to wrap this up. It's unclear whether Stranger Things is referencing the 1980 John Carpenter horror classic The Fog or the 1980 Stephen King story The Mist, but the fact that the Demodogs and Shadow Monster look an awful lot like the creepy prehistorical critters that loom in King's Mist gives the latter the advantage. Look at that. That's from The Mist. And then you see the Demogorgon. The resemblance is uncanny.
That's weird.
Right? So there's definitely some Stephen King influence there.
That's the Mind Flayer, not the Demogorgon, correct?
Yeah, the Mind Flayer. I mean, did I say Demogorgon? Yeah.
Okay. You did. I was just trying to make sure.
I meant to say the Demodogs. You know, how
Yeah,
all of that just screams
Stephen King, pretty much, yeah.
Stephen King all over it.
Now, the next one here I got for you is, speaking of overt references and not just released films, it's hard to ignore that Aliens, quote-unquote 1986, this is 1984 for Stranger Things, illusion when Hawkins Laboratory guys go down into the caverns to hunt some creatures. Does that sound familiar, the Norbos 7 Ripley Aliens? All right, so In both that film and the episode, Paul Reiser is watching closely and anxiously on a grainy monitor as their shoulder-mounted lights cut through the dark and misty tunnels. Now, if there are any doubts remaining that this is a blunt reference, as it can be, one of the lab guys advises the troops to, quote-unquote, stay frosty, boys.
That was so
great.
That
is seriously a direct quote from Aliens in 1986.
That was so good.
There we go.
Well, there's so many that we have continued to talk about, but one that I really think was cool, we promised more classic horror possession tropes, and here we are. When a monster can look like one of its victims, it can eavesdrop on plans. That's what makes the titular demon in John Carpenter's The Thing, which was a 1982 film, such a challenge to defeat, and why Mike and the rest are taken by surprise when Will leads the Hawkins men into a trap. The way Will was infected with smoke tendrils invading every office, recalled the tentacles from the 1982 body-hopping monster. Joyce even repeatedly calls what's inside her son that thing. And how did I not catch that when I was watching it? The details.
You know, I can do Kurt Russell all day long. I'm telling you. Just,
so many details.
He's Snake Plissken, and he's also Star-Lord's father. So, I mean,
yeah.
And, you know,
can I just, I just give so many props to the Joyce character relating to her as a mother and, trying to put myself in her place. If that was one of my kids and going through that, oh my gosh, the incredible amount of strength. Be willing to do what she had to do with Will to save him. Is incredible. I just had to throw that out there because that thing
was
intense.
It's pretty deep, deep acting. So, Lindsay, I think you got the last one of the night for the Easter eggs.
All right, let's wrap it up. All right, so speaking of lethal young women, how can I look at Eleven telekinetically taking care of business while surrounded by flames and not think of Drew Barrymore in 1984's Firestarter? Specifically the promotional material. Sure, there are other comparisons we could make, like Darkman's Dark Phoenix, anyone?
X-Men,
but this Dark feels I did say Dark but this feels like the most timely. There's definitely a Firestarter
there's she's channeling some Drew Barrymore right there.
I picked up on a lot of that
That was really awesome. And you know, there's a there's even a conversation around that X-Men season 3 and 4 could become slowly a unfiltered X-Men variant with the mutant powers that Eleven and her sister have and all the other kids. You know, there's this subculture of X-Men that, what do they call them? It's not the mole. Is it the mole people? But it's a subterranean culture of X-Men mutants that have tried to evade the authorities and the Sentinels, and they went underground. And and just kind of like that whole clan that Eleven meets in Chicago really mirrors that a lot.
It does.
And so it's definitely interesting to see that come to fruition as well. But there it is, guys. I mean, Stranger Things season 2. I mean, honestly, it continues. It's a continuity of season 1, but if you're trying to compare, you know, apples and oranges between the two, only thing that are that is common is definitely the characters. The story is just totally awesome. And so season 1 is its own living beast. I mean, I think you can watch season 1 and just totally be, okay, that's that. You can watch season 2 and you're like, okay, that's totally different. That's that. And
but I also feel like they seamlessly transition into each other. So if you were to watch season 1 and 2, like season 1 and 2 back to back, like all the way through, you would still have that seamless continuity
and,
that you would feel,
you know, everything from Eleven as Millie Brown to all the characters of the Hopper and just my gosh, it's what a cast that they've assembled for this series. And I kind of feel like I'm in 1987 watching a epic horror drama unfold, and but it's unending. The story is continually evolving. It's not a 2-hour blockbuster. And the Morlocks, thank you. That is it, Darth Baca. The Morlocks. If you remember the X-Men, it was the 80s, I think. It was 1983 is when X-Men introduced the Morlocks. Thank you, Darth Baca. I needed that little jote of
Darth Baca for the win.
I'm telling you. But he's true. It was the Morlocks. And so that explains a little bit of why they look the way they look. I don't know. Maybe they were directing comics. Come on, you know, it's kind of
never
a thing.
Never know.
Man, but, you guys, we didn't even talk about the kisses.
No, we're good.
Oh, little kisses.
We didn't even talk about the kisses.
Hey, you know what we do have to do? We have to give our score.
Well, before we do that, we need to give our score from last week.
We didn't do scores last week.
All right, so let's go. Let's do Stranger Things first.
Okay. Stranger Things first. Wrap that one up.
Are we going to do them 1 to 10?
Yes, 1 to 10.
Yeah. I'm going to give this an 8.9.
Boom.
I'm going to give this an 8.9. Yep.
I like that.
Yep.
Lindsay.
Lindsay Badger.
9.2.
9.2.
Yes.
Very weird you said that. Mine is a 9.3.
Oh, Mike over there. Can you turn your mic on? You want to give us your score, Mike? Are you still?
Oh, yes.
Are you?
I
want to hear what Mike has to say. Hopefully, I don't know. Maybe he's completely naked by now. I don't know. I don't know what he does when the camera's off.
I don't want that in my head.
You got to unmute yourself too, first boy. So what's your score, Mike?
Difficulty.
Nice.
All right. What's your score, Mikey?
Stranger Things. Yeah. I'm going with a 9.3 on this.
Yeah, nice. Mike.
Nice. What was some highlights for you, Mike? What were some things that just blowed you away?
Oh, it was just the way they set up the whole season. I'll try and be quick about it. Mm-hmm. You know, basically all the questions that we had from the end of season one all kind of answered in season two.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of the episode seven, I can see why they did that, you know. And if anybody catches Beyond Stranger Things, which is the companion, the Duffers, I think explain why they did that. I can't remember exactly, but it made sense. And I thought it may have been a little bit earlier that they could have done it. And one episode was just enough. It shouldn't have been any more. So they did it perfect there. Growing up in the 80s, I've never seen anybody that has Billy's hair. I've never seen that mess on his head. And also Ted Wheeler, still the useless father from the first season and the second.
Yeah, he's pretty much clueless
and out there.
He's a tool. He's a tool.
He's just horrible.
Well, that's awesome. Horrible. So we got 9.3, 9.3, 8.9, and Lindsay Badger gave it a 9.2. All right, so that is our official review of Stranger Things Season 2. Now, really quickly, before we go off the air, let's do Superman and the Justice League and all that stuff from last week, or 2 weeks ago. I want to give Justice League, because we didn't do it. We went off the air and we just totally forgot. Yeah, and we were just
we talked about it a lot, but we talked about it.
So for my official Justice League, I'm going to give Justice League a 6.7.
I'm going to give Justice League a 6.8 because that's exactly what I get. But you know what? I will say this. I watched it again, and I liked it a little bit more. Not changing my score, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
Rewatch.
I was holding on to a 7.2 for that one.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Mikey?
I'm going to go with an 8 on it. Austin, I've seen it three times already.
Nice.
Very rewatched.
It's one of the few movies that I would go see, and it's, you know, I know it's getting a bad rap, but I still enjoyed it. You know?
Well, Jamie over in the chat room, my buddy here in Claremont, says he actually gives Justice League an 8 as well. So, Mike, you've got someone there to match you there. That's awesome. But so we're going to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. My gosh, this has been one jam packed episode, right? And so, as always, if you see something awesome and exciting on the shelves at your local comic book shop or in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media. Use our hashtag YoPopX. And if you use the hashtag, we could, quote unquote, use your post on a future episode right here on PopX Live. So hashtag YoPopX.
Yeah. Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
Also, make sure you check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everywhere, it's at PopXCast. Send all your comments and suggestions to us via email at PopXCast@gmail.com. And also for future and past shows, make sure you visit our official website, www.PopXCast.com.
Yes, mm-hmm. I am at the Burkinator on the interwebs, Austin Burke on YouTube. And you can follow me on MySpace. I'll make you a top friend.
Yeah.
And you can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, pretty much all over the interwebs.
All right. And I am, again, Mr. Joseph Burke, a.k.a. Joseph Burke Arts, all over the web. That's at Joseph Burke Arts. And you can find me. And you know what? Hats off to this amazing team, PopX. We're not just friends. We're not just geeks. We're family. And if it wasn't for Lindsay with her media promoting every week, and Austin with his intuitive insight, and Mike with his amazing visuals, Mike, we love you. Yes. Oh, look, he's doing, look at that, Top Gear. Top Gear guy, that's it. Yes, perfect. I love that guy. But so it's all four of us that we come together, and we hope you enjoy what you watch here. And so be sure to tune in 2 weeks. We are going to have episode 68, Star Wars. The Last Jedi, the official review right here.
It's going to be so good, you guys.
It's going to be so glorious. And it'll be on December the 17th. And you know what? Austin's not going to be with us. Austin's going to be in regions unknown.
I'll be on my honeymoon.
he's getting hitched, and then he's going to go get his geek on.
Dang on right.
Honestly, though, from all of us here at PopX Cast. Oh, wait.
Ooh.
Will's back. He said, congratulations on your
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
YouTube channel.
Well, you know, he's got his priorities in check. Thank you, Will.
I mean, you know, at least he doesn't really understand all that stuff.
And yet, before we sign off, Joe, happy birthday, by the way.
Ooh, yeah.
It was this last week. Don't think you're going to get away with it.
Hello.
Hello.
It's my birthday, Jenny. All right. So I'm 21 and holding. And all right, guys, we are going to actually get ready and try to wrap this thing up. Guys, we love you so much. Thank you for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll see you next time right here on PopX Cast. Don't go nowhere. PopXCast.com. You know what we're doing, right?
Toodles.
Toodles.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.